Let's see, what is Titus 3:7? Did we do that one? Okay, this would be kind of a good way to go with what we were just saying. Let's just start at verse 11, Titus 2:11. For the saving grace of God has appeared to all men, instructing us that having denied ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live discreetly and righteously and godly in the present age, looking for the blessed hope and appearance of the glory of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ. And I think that's kind of cool, the appearance of the glory of God. We've always thought we're waiting to just see the appearance of Jesus coming through the clouds. But he's saying here, if you live a holy life and a discreet life, you're going to see the glory of God. I really believe the glory of God is the very essence and presence and manifest presence of God in such a tangible form that you can feel it, that you can taste it, that you really, it's really like heaven being poured into an atmosphere. And I believe God is beginning to reveal that to people to a small degree, but there's coming something so powerful. You know, in the book of Revelations, we get the picture that in the throne room of God, and also in Isaiah, the people cannot stand up because of the glory of God. There is an element of the glory of God and the anointing of God when people fall out. The God's presence is touching them and hitting them. And so that weightiness of his presence is entering into the natural realm. Okay, this part. Who gave himself, Jesus Christ, gave himself on our behalf that he might redeem us from all lawlessness and purify for himself a people for his own possession. So Jesus did what he did so he can possess us. Is that so cool? You know, we need a stamp owned by Jesus. Holy Ghost possessed. I want to be a possession. I want to belong to God. If something is my possession, I own it. He came and died and paid the price for sin, destroyed the burden of punishment, took away the guilt so that he could own us. Perfect peace comes in knowing that you're completely owned by God. If you own something, if you own your dog, okay, if he's your dog, then without him even knowing it, you should take care of him. You should make sure he has food and water and a place to sleep and he's not running the streets. It's like you just take care of him. Why? Because you own him. Do you take care of your neighbor's dog? I mean, some people once in a while, but that's only. But Jesus doesn't do that. He doesn't like loan you out, you know. He's always there day and night. So if you take care, if, you know, your children are not your possessions, but while they're young and you have guardianship, you should have that responsibility to take care of them because they are your own, okay? I don't believe people own people because God owns everything. But at the same time, we have guardianship. And so you take care of them. You're supposed to do that. They don't even have to be thankful for it because it's just what you're supposed to do. Okay, so when God owns me, who is to take care of me? Who is to take care of everything that has to do with me? So being owned by God, being his possession, is the perfect will of God. It is that place of divine protection. It's that place of a complete peace. It's that place. So you don't want any part of you that's hurt to be running around saying, wait a minute, you can own all the rest of me, but this part's still mine. Do you get that one? You can't be part owned by God. Well, God owns my leg, but darn, this leg's going to go in the bars. No, he's a jealous God. He either owns all of you or really he owns none of you. Now he's faithful to continually draw you to him because how does God own us? By our surrender. God, I want you to own me. God, I want you to be in charge. God, I want you to get everything out of my heart that isn't of you. You need to pray that every day. This meeting is because I've been praying that. However, I had no idea until I started preaching it. What he wanted to get out of my heart. This was just something I wasn't connecting with for whatever reason. I did a little in the past and things, but not really seeing this. And so sometimes you may be having a difficult holiday season because God is more concerned about giving you a gift that's lasting and eternal. setting you free. I think actually when we had that discussion about, you know, you with your daughter, that started, I think, this whole thing. Because it was that same week I said, well, this happened here and this happened here. It's so amazing to me to watch God work one specific area in the hearts of a group of people. Go, oh. I mean, we all have a little bit of everything, it seems like, so that's probably not that difficult for him. But it's amazing how things are exaggerated almost in a specific area. I think people are so used to coping with guilt that they haven't really recognized it for what it is. Codependency is completely guilt-based. Guilt and control-based. Codependency is really completely guilt and control-based. People controlling because of the guilt or the shortcomings and faults of another. People manipulating, people threatening, people holding it over people's heads. Not necessarily the sin, but the whole atmosphere of those things that were done wrong. The whole atmosphere, the whole relationship of codependency is guilt-based. Otherwise, there'd be freedom. There'd be no way to control or manipulate. All right. It goes on. It says, speak these things and exhort, convict with all authority. Let no one despise you. Remind them to be subject to rulers and authorities, to be obedient, to be ready in every good work, to speak evil of no one, not quarrelsome, but forbearing, having displayed all meekness to all men. For we also once were senseless, disobedient, led astray, slaving for various lusts and pleasures, living in malice, envy, hateful, hating one another. But when the kindness and love of God our Savior towards man appeared, not by works and righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us through the washing of regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us richly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that being justified by his grace, we should become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Faithful is the word, and concerning these things, I desire you strongly to affirm that the ones believing God should take thought to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable to men. But keep back from foolish questionings, genealogies, arguments, and quarrels of law, for they are unprofitable and vain. And then it goes on after the first and second warning, avoid a man of heresy. And we're teaching this a little bit. When the fear of the Lord comes to the church, there are principles that God's going to lead us to say, when people keep bringing in heresy and keep being argumentative, when people will not let God do this work in their heart, avoid them. You know, Jesus wasn't trying to do a big fat church growth program. He was looking for a holy, sanctified people who loved him, who would come together with the desire to see Christ glorified. So, you know, Jesus ministered to those 12 in a powerful way, but he didn't stop Judas and from what was in the heart of Jesus from taking Judas to hell. People have to make these decisions. You can't be by guilt. Your children can't find Christ because of guilt. Are we getting this? This is exciting, isn't it? This is really exciting, you guys. For me, this is exciting. Is this exciting for you, Karen? This is exciting for Karen. This is exciting because we have so operated in guilt and wondered why things have not changed in some situations, in some relationships. It's going to be exciting to see what it's going to feel like to not have the guilt thing going. There was even a scripture in there about, or in the definition, not a scripture, in the definition of guilt, one of the signs is it causes stomach pains and stuff. And so ulcers, you know, ulcers, hernias, colitis, oh yeah, you know, any of these kind of things that really affect the whole stomach, eating problems. Oh my gosh, we might have a really strong answer for anorexia. Yeah, any of these things that have to do with your stomach and stomach problems could very well have to do with guilt. And so once you deal with this guilt issue, you can begin to declare healing in those areas. You can begin to declare wholeness in those areas because Satan can't hold on. He can't hold on. I mean, I'm telling you, when you really recognize his junk and you get free from the spiritual thing, then the physical thing has to leave. Infirmity has to leave when it can't hold on anymore. I can't hold on. Then his only thing is to try to put you in unbelief and doubt. You know, why do you say with unbelief and doubt, just kick his little self out? You know, whoa. You know, just, hey, I'm not believing you. You're a liar. Why would I believe you? Get on out of here. You know, you've lost. And God, if there's anything else you want to reveal, reveal it. You can't, remember what we talked about 2 weeks ago, it's powerful. You have to keep your eyes on Jesus and desiring a full revelation of Jesus. I want full knowledge of Christ, and all the sin falls off. You can't turn and look at your sin and try to fix it and ask God to come in and help. All right, do you get this? If you really want victory, you cannot begin to focus. This is where inner healing ministries have gotten out of line. This is where some of the books, I mean, I've read some books, they have some awesome revelations, but then you get to the point where it says, now everybody has this because of this. Well, who needs the Holy Spirit? I mean, you just done figured this out. You've done made a formula now, and darn, nobody even needs, no. There, God knows all things. The Holy Spirit knows all things. Many things are so intricate and you know, just beyond a simple formula and a 5-minute altar call. Only he can untangle these things. Only he can set you free from these things. But you can see patterns. You really can see patterns. You really can see, especially when they're in the scriptures, like dry bones, you know. A broken spirit drives up the bones. So, and a merry heart does good as medicine. So when you see God restore, you know, the inner healing movement that's come to America came through really Rodney Hart Brown's ministry because of the joy and the laughter. It wasn't just about having a good time getting drunk in God, though that's yay. It was about God bringing his supernatural medicine to begin to bring healing to these areas where bitterness have dried up the bones, where brokenness, broken spirit, broken places dries up bones. It causes cancer, ulcers. It reveals itself in a spirit of infirmity. But if we quit looking at the physical and focusing on the physical and being afraid because we're seeing the physical, and we begin to get our eyes on Jesus and let the author and the finisher of our faith take us into all truth by his Holy Spirit and reveal to us and change us, then these spirits of infirmity lose their authority. I mean, you almost got to see them when they're starting to pack up. That little guy walking around to Margaret, just making her sick this way and that way. It's like right now, he's like, oh, man. He's got his little suitcase on his bed. It's not long. All I got left is a toothbrush. As soon as she gets to the toothbrush, I'm out of here. And the Holy Spirit knows exactly what keeps that toothbrush there. That's how it works. He's in there saying, you know, when I fought migraines for years, but they kept getting less and less as I got freer and freer and less and less. And part of it then came down to some physical things like drink some water. But I don't believe for 1 second if I just drank water that I wouldn't have migraines. I believe it finally got down to a place to say, you know what? This spirit's been dealt with. This heaviness has been dealt with. This thing has been dealt with. These things you did in manipulation in your teenagehood when they started, it's been dealt with. Now, you know what? If you just kind of do a little exercise and drink some water, you're not going to get a headache. And so one thing I tell people, do not negate the things that God has done. Okay, I want to show you the part about guilt where it says that guilt is when you know what you're doing is wrong. And Jesus says in John 9:41, well, first he says in 40 to the Pharisees, and those of the Pharisees who were with him heard these things and said to him, are we also blind? Let me go up a little bit. Okay, verse 29. We know that God has spoken by Moses, but this one, talking about Jesus, this is Pharisees, we do not know from where he is. The man answered and said to them, for there is a marvel in this that you do not know from where he is, and he opened my eyes. But we know that God does not hear sinful ones, but if anyone is God-fearing and does his will, he hears that one. There's a spiritual law for you. This is John 9, spiritual law in verse 31. We know that God does not hear sinful ones, but if anyone is God-fearing and does his will, he hears that one. From the beginning of the age, it was never heard that anyone opened the eyes of one having been born blind. If this one was not from God, he could not do anything. They answered and said to him, the Pharisees, you were born wholly in sin, and do you teach us? And they threw him outside. That's their pride and their arrogance. Like, who are you to tell us this? Verse 36, and he answered and said, who is he, Lord, that I may believe into him? And Jesus said to him, even you have seen him, and he is speaking with you. He is the one. And he said, I believe, Lord, and he worshiped him. And Jesus said, I came into this world for judgment. Oh, look at there. I came into this world for judgment, that the ones who do not see may see, and the ones who think they see may become blind. He came to turn it around. And those of the Pharisees who were with him, he was very bold, wasn't he? Heard these things and said to him, are we blind? And Jesus said to them, if you were blind, you would have no sin. But now you say, we see, therefore your sin remains. I want you to see something. God, people are going to be judged for the things that they know are sin, not from the things that their conscience did not convict them of.